Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's peace. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to dwell within you. So if He is within you, you're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You know, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not a bunch of talk. It's righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to bring your attention with probably for the next couple of weeks. This is Easter, beautiful week. I was thinking, I said the service next week was going to be at 6:30, but then when I look at the banner we made years ago, it says 7, all right? So we're going to do it at 7. I got a couple questions, and I bring my guest speakers up today. Whether you married, you were married, or you want to get married, or you will get married, beside giving your life to Jesus, getting married should be the most important decision you make. Amen. All right, I got a couple people. But unfortunately, sometimes we rush into getting married for the wrong reason. So one thing we need to understand is God has a plan for marriage, but also the enemy has a plan for marriage. And just, you know, think about it for a second. I mean, I know probably in the next couple of weeks talking about managing life relationship in the context of getting married, being married, or we're married, because some of you know, your spouse is not with us in heaven. But I believe this is something the Lord wants us to talk about. As a matter of fact, I have not intentionally talked about marriage. And I believe it doesn't matter how many years you've been married. Think with me for a second. Do we all believe that God is a God of restoration? Yes. Can I have a better witness?
Yes.
So He is a God of restoration.
Yes.
That means when I come to God, the old is gone, and now I get to experience, like Patrice was saying, I get to experience a new life. Okay? So He restores my soul, and at times He even restores our physical life. Oh, yeah. So He restores, of course, the spirit man is willing. That's where we're born again. We are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. So if I believe, and I know we all believe, we just testify, we believe God is a God of restoration. Now, can I believe God and trust, or believe and trust Him, that He can restore my relationship as well, if I'm married? So let's say if I'm married and I had a bad marriage, like for me and Kendra, we had a bad marriage at the beginning because I was selfish. You know, she had a little, maybe 20% fault, but I take responsibility. Guys, I believe part of maturity is taking responsibility.
Yes.
Because one of the things I see in the church, not our church, many churches or in Christianity, people don't want to take responsibility. You don't want to have the hard talk. Every healthy family talks. But sometimes we want to avoid the elephant in the room, thinking that time, life is going to take care of that elephant. No. Somebody needs to be mature enough. I mean, thank God for counselors. You know, we have Angie, some of you are counselors. Thank God for you, Christian counselors. You pay them top dollars. God bless them for their work. But I believe your pastor, your spiritual authority, can be one of the best counselors in your life. You know why? Because he cares for your soul. Your counselor, the person you go to, they might love you, paying them good money. They might give you good advice. Yeah. God bless them. They do a good job. But there's nothing like having a pastor, a mentor, somebody that loves you enough to tell you the truth in your face, to call you up. I believe we serve a God of restoration, and if you are still in a marriage, it's not God's will for you to be roommates. Okay, no amen. No amen. Amen. Because this might be kind of, I'm gonna step on some of you's toes. It's not God's will for me and Kendra to be roommates, period. Now, once again, we're all grown-ups here. We're not talking about having sex like rabbits. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about growing old together in the grace of God and still like each other. And still can't live without each other. Do you think it's God's will for me to be in a marriage? Or let me talk about some of you who are not married, some of you young adults who wants to get married. You know? It doesn't have to be young. You could be mid-age like me too. If you're single, you want to get married. Why not? Marriage is a good thing. He who find a good wife, find a treasure. He who find a good husband, find a treasure. Amen. But also, most of the time, you've never seen this quote on a Hallmark card saying, he who marry has trouble. Is that Proverbs? He who marries has trouble. Mm-hmm, trouble. Yeah, because marriage is hard work. You see, my relationship with Kendra, what you're seeing right now, you're seeing hard work. You're seeing intentionality from both of our sides. We talk about it. We're like, we don't want to be roommates. We want to reflect God in our friendship. She is my best friend. I am now, Kenzie. I have a witness. I remember I told you guys a couple years ago, I was talking with somebody in public. I said, yeah, Kendra is my best friend. She looked at me. She's like, I am? I said, yeah, Kendra is my best friend. I thought she was my best friend. And then she looked at me, I am your best friend? Because I'm like, oh, shoot. I thought you were. And then we had this hard talk. Best friends, that's not, best friends, you know, we care for each other. Best friend enjoy each other's company. Best friend pursue each other. And you saying, I am your best friend? That's when the light came up for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not your best friend. I said, you my best friend, but I'm like the tick, taking. That's how she's my best friend. I'm just taking. She's giving. Two ticks in a relationship will dry each other out. So, I haven't opened the Bible yet. This is just so good. The Lord's good. I thought this morning, or in the next coming weeks, we're going to talk about the purpose for marriage. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, your relationship with your mate is the only relationship with your husband and wife, is the only relationship that can be linked to the one between Christ and the church. So if we need an example to know how we should have a good marriage, don't look too far. We go back in the Word. So as I was thinking this week, I'm like, okay, I'm praying, I'm preparing and stuff. And I had this crazy idea, which I called Walt. I called Walt and I talked to Kathy. I did talk to Sandra a little bit, but I didn't follow up with her. But I want to say this, guys, and I'm going to speak for all of us. I'm going to speak to Walt right now. That we love you. We honor who you are. You were married for 60 years. Over 60 years with Nancy. And I've asked Walt to do something that's probably going to be, you can cry. You guys can cry. But I ask him some questions, and I'm like, okay, Walt and Kathy, actually. So why don't I bring you guys up here? Walt, you ready? Kathy, come up here. And Kendra, of course, come up here. Would you put your hands together for my guest speakers? So, I'm going to start with Walt, because he's a wise man in our midst. I believe everything, we can learn a lot from Walt, even though he's a man with few words. I was there watching Nancy transition. I was there watching him holding on tight to Nancy. That's not a beautiful thing to watch. It broke my heart. And then, of course, we all know it's recent. So the first question is, well, what would you tell us? You know, Nancy's in heaven. What would you tell us from the perspective of Ephesians? He's been reading Ephesians chapter 5. I told Walt, read Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm just going to ask you some questions, because I believe he's got the word of the Lord and a lot of wisdom.
You go ahead and ask me questions?
Yes. So the first question is, for those of us who still have our mates, what would you tell us? What would you tell us to challenge us, jig us, poked us, exhort us, while we still have our mates, whether our mate is a believer or not? The question is, what would you tell us? What would you say?
All people are different.
I'll hold your mic. You got it?
Right. All people are different. Depending on the 1 year or 20 years or 40 years or 64 years. Mm-hmm. People are different in relationships, and you take for granted your mate, whether it's a man or woman, or a father and son. Relationships are different. And you take for granted tomorrow. And tomorrow's going to come. But you may not be tomorrow what you expected. The last 2 years, Nancy was in a wheelchair, and I talked her into it. She had back surgery, and I talked her into it because I had back surgery, and it worked out great. Some people have back surgeries and doesn't work out great. And I said, you're in a wheelchair. What's the worst thing that can happen? And she didn't walk after the surgery. She was bedridden. And I think I know we got closer in that time. She was after surgery. She went to rehab. 3 months, no improvement. And so I brought her home. And we got closer than we had in a long time. Because she was bedridden. And I took care of her. And as a man...
You took care of her.
Right. As a man, we have... we don't say, I'm sorry.
Come on.
We don't say, I love you. Maybe 1 year, 2 years of marriage, and then you take for granted that I love you. And we need to hear it.
The ladies needs to hear. You, both parties needs to
both
hear.
Both parties need to hear it. And Lori Champion, we had her come in 1 day a week or 2 days a week or for an hour and sit with Nancy. And she relayed to me how Nancy depended on me, loved me, and it still hurts.
Of course.
It still hurts. And it will hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
And grief. If you don't grieve, then you don't love. Mm-hmm. And so I beg you to give kisses and hands and open the doors for your loved one, because tomorrow not come.
I'll let you sink in that for a little bit. Thank you all. Thank you. That takes courage. Yeah. And thank you for encouraging the body of Christ like that. So Kathy's been in our lives in the past 7 years. She's a blessing. I think beside Kendra here, Kathy is the closest person to me here at the church. She knows me very well. She sees me behind doors. She's our admin here. So you've done life without your precious Tim for how many years? 12 years now. So not in your shoes. Whether we married, wants to get married, will be married. How's life without him? You can go ahead.
I will. Tim and I met when I was very young. And I married young, and we grew up together. He was 6 years older than me, had a lot more life lived than I did when I married him, but we just had fun. That's the first thing we did. If you're going to get married, marry somebody fun. That's good advice, because he or she will make you laugh every day, and there are days you want to kill them, and you can't, and when they pull out something that makes you laugh, it's the best thing. Because it saves lives.
That's good.
It is the truth. Don't ask for the truth if you don't want the truth.
I want it. I want all the truth.
And Walt's exactly right. When you're first married, there's this just fun that you live. And as time goes on and you add a child or two, life changes, you get busy, You have, oh my goodness, everything in school to do, games to play, go to watch baseball. My goodness. But Tim played softball. Aaron played baseball. Marty played baseball. And Tim looked at me and said, hey, I want you to be on the ladies' softball team. I thought, you are nuts. Who's going to drive anybody anywhere? But we did it, and it was fun. Challenges come. Difficult times come. And anybody that tells you they've never had a problem or an argument or a difficulty in life, it's not true. It comes to every single marriage. Somewhere along the way, it comes. It's the unwelcome guest nobody wants, but it comes. But on the other side of that, God comes. Yes. In the midst of that, God comes. You know, the Bible says He raises up an army in each of us to fight for what we love and who we love. And so if you're in the midst of hard times, and you look at that person and think, I don't even know. You hear it so often. Well, we don't even know each other anymore. We'll get to know each other.
Come on.
It is worth the time. It's worth the effort. It's worth the love in the end. It's worth the love that was in the beginning. I think the hardest part of being without Tim is that life changed from us going into a room where we were just the fun of the party. And I thought I was a lot of fun. And he died, and I realized he was the fun. Mm. And I moved from living in the midst of everything to living in the shadows. Hmm. And life in the shadows is hard. And it's painful. There are times you just want life to be what it was. And trust me, I've been alone a long time. I have a great life. I have a wonderful family. I enjoy my life. I laugh every day. Every day I laugh. And I'm thankful. But sometimes the shadows creep in. And you don't fit where you used to fit. You don't go where you used to go. You don't do what you used to do. So you carve out a new life. And I told Walt, from the first time I saw him after Nancy had passed away, I said, I am living proof, and I'll tell anybody, I am living proof that grief will not kill you if you don't let it.
Come on. That's good.
I thank God. I thank God that Jesus just comforted me all along the way. And there are times, I remember one day I laid on the couch and I cried for 7 hours. 7 hours. And God met me there. He said, Kathy, you're going to be okay. Get in the car. Go out of the house. Hold your head up high. Laugh. Enjoy those grandbabies. They're part of saving my life. The hard part now is they're all growing up. I was talking to Maureen the other day, and she said she has a 5-year-old granddaughter, and I thought,
enjoy it.
I would give anything to have a 5-year-old in my life. I talk to strangers with 5-year-olds in the grocery store, please. But God is merciful, and He's kind, and He's compassionate, and He's loving. And when Tim first passed away, God gave me a prayer. I'd lay in bed every night and say, God, I know you. I believe in you. I trust you. I know this is part of your plan. Please heal my broken heart. I prayed that for 2 years faithfully. And one night as I was praying, instead of the last line being, please heal my broken heart, I said, thank you, God, for healing my broken heart. So hold on to each other. Love each other. Be kind. Forgive quickly. Yes. Laugh heartily. Remember the fun. Remember the joy. Remember that smile, that glimmer in his eye. Remember the times he put his hand in the small of your back just to usher you into the door. Remember the times he said he loved you more than anything in the world, and he did. In his last days at home, he looked at me and he was going to tell me. I knew what he was going to say. He said, "Honey, I am so..." I said, "Stop." I knew he was going to say he was sorry for something. I knew that. I could hear that coming. And I said, "Tim, we've said it all. We've said it all. We meant every word of it. Say what you have to say. Wipe the slate clean. Love from the bottom of your heart. Don't carry junk around with you. There's no point in it. It was never meant to be."
Wow. Oh, take a deep breath. This is good stuff. Are you good, Walt? Anything else you want to add? No? That's good. Come on, put your hands together for Walt. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, Kathy, Walt, love you guys. Thank you so much. Now, for those of you who are not married and wants to get married, I'll tell you more later. But right now, Jesus is your special person.
Amen.
Jesus is your special person. And some of you are like, "I'm okay with that. Hallelujah for the rest of my life."
Yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There you go.
Thank you, Lord.
But we also have some people. I'm actually praying. I put you on, Ankita, I put you on my prayer list. I've said, "Lord, bring Ankita and her husband together."
Yes.
You know, it's not the will of God for you to live in a marriage isolated. So if you're in a relationship and you isolate, you feel alone, isolated, roommates, you right in the middle of Satan's plan. That's his plan. And I come against that. And if you are married, you are part of this family, I'm going to challenge you. That's not godly. You need to repent. Both of you, one of you need to repent. You feel stuck. Come talk to us. Because we want to see the fullness of God in every aspect in your life. And it starts at home. How many times I tell you, if Kendra can't be my first disciple, I have no business discipling you. If she can't submit, respect me as a husband, she has no business trying to be this innocent girl here. It goes back and forth, right? So we hold each other accountable. We call each other up. We say, "Jesus is coming back." Well, guess what? In your relationship, he doesn't want to find you in resignation. You know what resignation is? It's not just I resign from my job. A lot of people resign in their relationship, in their marriage. Now, like I said, I know some of you, you want to get married. That's a good desire. But until God brings you that person, that man or woman, you need to fill your heart in holiness, in righteousness. Anything you want to add? Because I'll continue next week.
I just want Ephesians 5, the first verse, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." And then it goes on to talk about no hint of, like, how we're supposed to live as dearly loved children, how we're supposed to imitate God. And then it gets to 22:21, and it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it starts to talk about husbands and wives. So I think the foundation for all of this is that we learn to submit to one another. It works wonderful in a marriage, but Paul's also addressing the whole body. To submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Christ. And that's what saved us. Because we changed out of reverence for Christ. Because the word says to imitate him. And so, if you're having trouble in your marriage, or you want to get married and you're struggling, whatever the issue is, we need to submit. We need to be imitators of Christ, and we need to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's like Patrice was saying, it's not religion, it's a relationship. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you imitate Jesus, and then the better wife, husband, friend, mother, whatever your title is, the better you become.
Say that again.
I don't remember.
The better you love Jesus.
The more you spend time with Jesus, then the more you can imitate him. And then you become a better wife, husband, friend, mother. So if you want to become a better whatever you are, spend more time with Jesus so that you can be like him. You know, our time with him needs to not just, like we were talking Friday, it's not just about being in his presence and worshiping and then going out and treating people like garbage, like what Ricardo likes to say. That time with Jesus needs to change us so that we become imitators of him as dearly loved children. So if you're not, if you're spending time with Jesus and you're not changing, do you have a relationship with him?
You have religion.
Or is it just religion? And so whether you're married or not, submitting to one another in reverence for Christ, I think, is the foundation for us as believers.
That's one thing that saved our marriage.
Mm-hmm. In reverence for Christ. We didn't have... So my parents...
Her parents was my pastor.
Right.
So do you think I'm going to go to my pastor with my issues?
And they gave us marriage counseling, but it's not like, I mean...
Never.
I wanted to make sure that, like, I never, all the issues that we were having, I never complained to my parents about
it. See, that was another thing.
And we live right next door to each other. And now that we talk about it, my mom says she knew there was issues. Of course she can see. But I didn't want to complain. You know, I'm their daughter. I don't want them to hate him. Well, then let's just say that I say all this crazy stuff to them about what he's doing or saying, and then we fix it. Well, they're still remembering that. And so it's not like I was trying to hide. I just knew that because they were my parents, they couldn't know everything. So who did we talk to? Nobody. We had the word. And we had a passion to serve Jesus.
Yep.
And it wasn't, we were in a community like this, and we were worshiping, we were leading worship, we were leading home groups. And we would say to ourselves, well, we got to fix this because we can't go and lead a home group with this problem.
So we would fight.
We can't go to church and lead worship and like not talk.
So we would fix it before church.
Or we'd fix it sometime during the week.
In the week.
Right.
But sometimes we pick it up again Monday morning.
Yeah, because it was like...
Maturity comes with time.
We didn't have wisdom. We didn't... But...
And that's one of the reasons we're telling... I mean, even our children, we're like... The years we wasted for being childish...
Yeah.
We tell people, you don't have to waste... You don't have to take 14 years to forgive your parents. You can get married, and if you do it right, what does the Bible say? If you're building a house, the foundation is right. It will sustain.
But it is the word that convicted us and challenged us and kept us because we loved Jesus more than we loved each other. We put Jesus first.
So then let me add something here.
Because if I would have loved Ricardo more than I love Jesus, then I would have already lost.
It's like, we give already, up. Buy back.
We would have already.
Seriously, that's why the world is the way it is. Because you remember, especially in the context of marriage, when you married, you don't marry for yourself. But in our mind, we think, well, I get married because I want this baby. I want that. You come, you serve me. That's a tick mindset. So you're going to get in that relationship. You're going to suck the life out of your mate. And then some people, they're kind. They're giving. They're giving, giving, giving. 15, 25 years. And then, of course, they've got kids all throughout the years. So now with their kids, there is something. And then all of a sudden, the kids grow up. And then they leave the house. And that's when you realize, what?
Who are you?
Because in that relationship, it was a taking, taking, taking type of relationship. So we're calling the body of Christ, you, whether you're married or you want to get married, you have to have a solid fear, love for Jesus. Because if you're looking for fulfillment in marriage, I mean, yeah, it's good. It fulfills you. But without Christ, there's no fulfillment. True happiness is found in knowing Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And I didn't even get to chapter 5, verse 15, where I really want to go in the weeks to come. So, Father, we submit to you today. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord, I pray for those of us in a relationship, husband and wife. Father, I pray that you would call the men to start praying with their wives. You know, it could be just once a week. Plant the seed in their mind, in their spirit. Lord, I pray even for the wives to reach out saying, hey, can we pray once a week? Intimacy starts right there. Lord, I pray for those who are single and they want to get married. Lord, we pray for their mates in due time, in your timing, that you'd bring them together. Father, we want to honor you. We want, like your word says, imitate you. It actually starts with life, management of life relationships. We don't live like the world lives. In our marriage, in our relationship, when there are issues, we talk about it, we fix it, and we make it better. So we kick the enemy in his teeth. We slap him, we rebuke him, we submit under the authority of your word. For we know, your word says, you know the plan you have for us. It's plan for prosperity, plan for us married people to leave a legacy for our children. Father, I thank you for Walt. I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for the Carols, for many other people, you know, Maureen, Sandra, many other ladies here and guys who, you know, Dennis and Pam, who's, you know, their mates have traveled before them to heaven. We have no words to comfort their hearts. But Lord, I thank you that they are mourning in a healthy way. They're not mourning like hopeless people. They're mourning in hope in you, Jesus, who conquered the grave, who conquered death. Lord, we submit to you today. You are so kind with our hearts. Thank you for restoring our souls and healing our lives. We love you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And you saints, say.
Amen.
Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. God bless you and make it a great holy weekend. We'll see you guys Friday night at 7 o'clock.